Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 300 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. Woohoo! Party!
It's a party day. We are really celebrating today, episode 300. So we're so happy you've joined us. Today's going to be just a wild ride. I have planned it all, and Megan, you are showing up for the fun. It's like showing up for a party you don't really know much about.
I feel like I'm showing up for a party I don't even know whose it is.
It's yours. Yeah, surprise.
Surprise. I'm excited about this because, you know, I like to fly by the seat of my pants, and it was kind of fun this week to just be in the dark about what's happening and just, you know, show up in my seat. So I'm looking forward.
Here we are. So we are celebrating 300 episodes today, and we're going to do that through some fun little quiz questions, kind of like a quiz you might take in a magazine. So Megan, I'm going to make you take some quiz questions and our listeners can play along. And then we're also just going to share some of our little behind the scenes thoughts and some thoughts and reflections on 300 episodes. So it's a big grab bag, but we're going to have a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward.
Okay, so I'm going to set the stage for any newer listeners and just briefly tell our origin story. And then I want you to add to it because you really are, you like are the origin story, but I'm going to set the stage here. So you had gotten into podcasting as early as 2012, like before anybody out there. But this show launched in 2015. So I would say late in 2014, you and I were working together on the Happiest Home blog, which had been your blog, and I came on as an editor. So we'd been working together for a couple of years, and you started to get serious about really doing podcasting. And you had this vision of a little network that included different shows with different hosts, all under kind of the same umbrella. And my memory is just that you asked me, like, hey, would you want to start a mom podcast? And I was like, sure. And it just was like, it wasn't like a big decision because we were already working together a lot, or we were in each other's daily lives. I had been a guest on your Kitchen Hour podcast a couple of times, so we had tried it. And then that was, we started it in March 2015, so coming up on 6 years. And then, you know, the rest is history, as they say. But is there anything else that you remember about that kind of origin story, or even leading up to episode one?
So I actually was, I believe, on the Happiest Home, poking around looking for something not too long ago, because it's still there. All the archives are there, but we just haven't, you know, updated it in like going on 6 years now. I think we kept the blog and the podcast alongside of each other for a while, but not very long. By the end of 2015, we put it to bed. And I found several episodes of it had become the Home Hour. So the Kitchen Hours was my very first podcast, and eventually I rebranded it the Home Hour so that I could talk about more stuff than food. And you were on there more than I remembered. Like, I was surprised. And I don't remember now how I found the episodes that you were in, but I think it was because I must have been searching for something. And okay, I think that's where it came up. And I was like, oh, wow, I had forgotten like how many times you and I had already been on the mic together. So I had forgotten that it wasn't our first, like, it wasn't even really, I don't think, our third rodeo. I think we'd done it a few times, and those always felt like the most natural and fun episodes for me. They're just really easy, and we work really well together. And even though I don't think we were big into planning at the time yet, they just always felt a little more organized. So yeah, so that's my memory of it. But otherwise, it's just like you describe. I already had, like, I wanted to have this little network, and I just was like, hey, want to do this? And you said yes. Yeah.
I wish I could. I think it was an email address that's no longer operational, like my old work email address with you. But I so wish I could like have a screenshot of whatever conversation that was where you were like, hey, want to start a mom podcast? I was like, sure.
I bet you it was in Google Hangouts.
Oh, probably was. And that also doesn't exist.
It exists for me. Like, I could search it. I could find, like, I could go through our old conversations and try to find it. Cause I bet it was truly like one of those, I've got a crazy idea moments.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, whatever. Okay.
No, I remember being game. So I also wanted to see if either of us have any specific memories of recording episode one. And now I'm actually talking about the very first episode, which the title is Mom Meltdowns. Oh, no. And it is about those times when you like lose your mind or lose your, you know what, your marbles with your kids, which is so funny because every once in a while someone will email us and be like, have you guys ever done an episode about when you just lose it with your kids? And we get to be like, not only yes. have we done an episode, it was the genesis of our archives. So I can go first on this one. I have such a bad memory for so many things. And then I get other things that just stick in my memory. So a couple things come to mind. I have in my adult life had recurring lower back problems. They're actually really good right now. Like my back hardly flares up anymore. But in the days when I was pregnant and had babies and toddlers, because of the way I was always having a baby on my hip and bending over while holding a baby, my back would go out is the wrong word, but it would flare up quite a bit. And sitting for long periods of time was really bad for my back. So I actually recorded episode one and most of our early episodes lying on my stomach on the floor of my family room on the carpet with my laptop in front of me. I used to work that way all the time. I used to work lying on the floor. It's so funny. The way I sit in bed now, how we both work from bed, I would not have been able to do. The reason I can do it now is my core is stronger and I'm not, my lifestyle isn't as bad for my back as it was then. But so I would lie on my floor. I had my laptop in front of me. I had this dinky little mic that your ex-husband John had told me to get. Or maybe I didn't even have a mic. I think I didn't have a mic yet for her episode one.
No, I believe you're right. I think you were just talking into your computer, which at the time was just like so normal. You know fine. What I mean?
Yeah. It's so cute brand new podcasters now get like full setups, like full pop filter, windscreen, like mic stands. And this was just in a time where there wasn't a lot of pressure on us to have excellent sound. Right. And my only other, I have no memory. I think we exchanged emails about the content, but I have no memory of any kind of an outline. Like, I don't think we went in knowing what we were going to say.
As I recall, we brought a sponsor on for the first episode that was also a sponsor of the blog. And I think there was some talk, maybe I don't really remember that either, but we didn't really outline stuff back then. No. Like that wasn't really part of our workflow.
I shouldn't say we as if it was we, because really it was your podcast where I was your co-host, especially in the beginning, because you had you knew about podcasting. You had all the tech on your end. Your then husband was helping you with some of the tech setup and you had the sponsor relationship. So you know, it was a while before we had like a shared Google Doc and stuff, but I think it's so lovely that we didn't know to be intimidated. Like we were just like, sure.
Yeah, I know. Fun. I love it. Yeah. So my memory of this, well, this would have been before I did podcasting in bed, which I have done most of the last 3 years, I would say, possibly a little longer. So my stance for podcasting now is in my bed with my mic tucked into my bra because it makes it so that I can gesticulate. I talk with my hands. I can do that without rustling around. I don't have to have, the sound is always great in here and I'm comfortable in here and I don't want to have a boom mic like attached to my bed or my nightstand. I just feel like that would be a little weird. So it's just nice to have it all kind of, and I also like being able to put it all away at the end. I don't want to have like remnants of my podcast life, like cluttering up my bedroom.
I
so
agree.
Yeah. So, but at that time I was podcasting into this like big old Mac that was the house we lived in, the master bedroom, like had like a regular bed area. And then this little weird kind of, it wasn't like a separate office room, but it was almost like the entry to the bedroom was its own little space. And my desk was over there. And I did a lot at that desk. Like at the time I was doing a lot of Google Live chats and stuff like that. Like that was very big. What was that? Google Plus. I was doing a lot of that.
Oh my gosh.
And I know, did you even remember that was a thing? Like everyone suddenly tried to get into Google Plus, then Google just pulled the plug on it. But I had like a whole setup in that room. So I did at the time have a boom mic and a mic. So my ex had set up the all the software and it was not as simple back then. So like now you can, you know, we record from clean feed into a file that is then downloaded onto our computers. At the time we were using Skype.
Yep.
And there had to be like a piece of software to connect Skype to, I guess, like the downloaded file. I don't exactly remember.
GarageBand. Wasn't it Skype
GarageBand?
GarageBand.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So somehow we had to be able to get the file out of Skype. But the problem was that it didn't record automatically. Like that was the piece that had to happen. So we had to have something that recorded it, and then we had to be able to open it in GarageBand. So there was all this like settings that had to happen. And do you remember how often we would get on and like, it just wouldn't be recording and I'd have to call John in or like call him on the phone. And it was just so clunky. So I don't even really remember how long it took us to start, you know, changing that. But it was a while. It was a while that we had sort of just like this rigged up system. And I remember sitting. So I was sitting at the time at this desk. That's all I remember about it, is just sitting at that desk recording with you. And for that whole first year, there was lots of frustration. And I would dread it. I remember like, I really loved having podcasted, but always like the process of getting on the mic and wondering what was going to go wrong was a big bummer.
Well, it's still to this day when we have tech frustration, it is still one of the biggest bummers because the talking is fun and like having made the podcast is fun, but tech troubles are, they're not fun. Okay. I love hearing that. And I'm laughing just because it was such a different time in podcasting. And I know we have listeners now who are podcasters and who have started shows in the last couple of years. So I don't want to be like, you don't know how good you have it, but kind of, you don't know how good you have it, right, like in terms of the tech. So that's so funny. So that brings me to our first quiz question where I'm going to give you a multiple choice and listeners, you can play along. So are you ready, Megan?
I think I'm ready. Yes.
Okay. So before we go to break, this first question actually just takes us back to early 2015 and what the podcast landscape was like, because you did a lot of, you knew a lot about podcasting compared to regular people at that time. So I'm going to read you four headlines that were around in the media at that time. And one of them is fake. Okay. So which of these four headlines was not a news headline in early 2015? Here's the first one. Five podcasts that will get you hooked on digital audio content from Entrepreneur Magazine. Number two, Apple announces built-in podcast app for iOS 8.0 from TechCrunch. Number three, everything you ever wanted to know about listening to podcasts from Forbes. And then number four, after Serial, sponsors pour money into podcasts from the Boston Globe. And that's obviously Serial with an S, like the podcast mega hit.
Okay. So Serial, I believe, was 2014. So I'm going to eliminate that one because I have a feeling that that article would have come out sometime in 2015. I feel like
this is 2015, by the way. We are. Right. These
so
are
that
early,
one. Okay. So I'm eliminating that as an option is what I'm saying.
Got it. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that came out in 2015. I feel like iOS 8.0 came out later than 2015, but I'm terrible about that stuff. I'm just going to go with that one. Hold on a second. The built-in podcast app thing, that was already a thing in 2015, or was it? I'm going to go with that one. Apple announces built-in podcast app for iOS 8.0, but I feel like I'm wrong.
You are correct.
You got it
right. And I really tried to, write a tricky question there.
Well, the other two could be anytime, like five podcasts that will get you hooked. Like that could be this year or 2014, right? So the two giveaways were Serial and iOS 8.0. And you know that I'm terrible with like keeping up to date on that stuff. But for some reason, I just feel like my last iPhone was on 8.0.
Okay.
And I just felt like that was later.
So
or was that earlier?
So I think the podcast app was already built in. That's how I made that one fake. So there were some headlines in early 2015 about how when Apple had built the podcast app, built it into iOS, that had led to the growth of podcasts, but that had already happened. So by me
so
changing
article,
it to like...
So it wasn't even a real article headline. I was thinking it was a real headline from a different year.
No, I made it up.
You're tricky.
Serial got popular in late 2014, but that is a current headline. So yes, like that they were saying, I just thought it was funny. Sponsors pour money into podcasts. I think that's, I don't know. I feel like that maybe it's a little clickbaity. I'm not sure how much money was pouring into podcasts. Not small ones anyway.
I do remember feeling like Serial had changed everything for podcasts, and it makes me laugh, though, looking back at really how far we still had to go before it was truly like an advertiser-supported model for most people. So, that was a fun little warm-up.
That was a warm-up. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll go more into a little quiz about our own archives. So we'll be right back.
Sarah, did you ever have that moment in the shower postpartum where you went to wash your hair and it like started falling out in clumps like some kind of horror movie?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I definitely noticed my hair texture and thickness changing a lot in the months after having a baby, and it would often take a really long time to bounce back. And postpartum hormones are just one of the many reasons women can experience weakened or thinning hair. Stress, which we are all feeling right now, right? And hormones and environment, nutrition and metabolism, these can all contribute to a loss of volume, shine, and bounce in your hair.
Yeah, now that I'm in my 40s, I definitely don't have the same hair I did 10 years ago, and I'm not alone. It turns out 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair, and our sponsor Nutrafol offers two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the five root causes of thinning: stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism. And in a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months.
You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using the promo code THEMOMHOUR. New customers will get 20% off their subscription. That's their best offer available anywhere. Plus, you'll get free shipping on every order. Again, get 20% off at Nutrafol.com. That's spelled Nutrafol.com. And the promo code is THEMOMHOUR.
Okay, Sarah. So yesterday I discovered Clara poking around in the deck of a popular but really adult-oriented card game that had somehow gotten left out. So for a minute, I totally panicked and thought, oh man, she probably saw something she wasn't ready for. And I had that moment of like, oh, how am I going to handle this?
Oh no, I feel like we've all had that moment as parents where we realize our kids may have gained access to information that we would rather they hadn't.
So my first instinct, of course, was just to pretend nothing happened because awkward, right? But then I channeled a little of the wisdom of our sponsor, Amaze.org, and told Clara that if she saw anything that confused her, she was welcome to talk to me about it. She didn't take me up on that offer right away, and that's more than fine. But if and when she does, I'm glad I've got Amaze's huge body of resources at my fingertips so I can answer her honestly and openly, but you know, also in a way that's like 11-year-old appropriate.
I love this because Amaze's whole goal is to help us all become askable parents so that our kids know they can always come to us for honest, non-judgmental, and accurate information. So even if she didn't have a question this time, Megan, next time she stumbles across something that's above her head, or if she's dealing with a confusing situation at school or something, she'll know she can come to you, and that's so important. And because Amaze.org has all these free educational videos and other resources to help you have those conversations, you will be well armed.
I know, I love it. And Amaze also has a podcast. Season 2 of Become an Askable Parent with Amaze, hosted by our friend Christine Koh, launched recently. And in each episode, Christine interviews an expert who helps parents figure out how to talk to kids about topics like mental health, body positivity, porn, gender, inclusivity, technology, and more. Check it out. And if you love the show, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts so that other parents don't have to be in the dark about these topics either. Again, the podcast is called Become an Askable Parent with Amaze, and you can find all of Amaze's resources at amaze.org.
Okay, so listeners, you can all play along with this quiz and these quiz questions. But first, I think it's kind of funny, Megan, how we even landed on this whole concept of episode 300, because we number our Tuesday episodes, and Tuesday has always been our weekly show. But as you all listening know, we do More Than Mom episodes on every other Sunday. Those are not numbered. They never have been. We do Voices episodes on the first Friday of the month, and those are numbered in their own sequence. So like we just had Voices 57, I think, or something like that. So just kind of, I'm kind of laughing because it's all arbitrary in the end. And the 300 yeah. Tuesday, we've had 300 Tuesdays, but we actually have more episodes than that. So it's kind
well,
of funny.
And I think it's also funny how much we agonized over that decision, whether to number Voices, which came before More Than Moms, mm-hmm. And whether to number More Than Moms. Now, at the beginning, More Than Moms were not sponsored initially. And we kind of did that on purpose. So it was sort of purposeful that we both had them not sponsored because we didn't want to feel obligated to keep doing them if we didn't like it or if we felt like it was too much or if no one listened. We just weren't really sure
yeah.
how it would land. And I think we thought they'd be short. And then
oh,
those are the
did.
Ones.
Oh, yeah.
And we remember, did like, those are the ones short. We think like go longer than ever because they're so fun and there's always so much to say. So it was very arbitrary. And now looking back, I kind of laugh because really we just kind of made it a little more confusing to ourselves to not. But I do like that you can very clearly tell which ones are Tuesday episodes and which ones aren't. And I think that was our plan. And that just goes to show you, you never can solve for every variable. No.
And it is convenient. Sometimes listeners will say, like, I was just listening to episode 286 about da da da. It's nice to have a shorthand to refer to something and just on the technical side, like to find an episode and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of silly that some are numbered and some are not. So my first question for you, and you can just take a wild guess, there's no multiple choice here, but how many actual episodes do you think we have? Not 300, but including all the More Than Moms, all the bonuses, all the specials, everything.
Have we been doing More Than Moms since 2018?
So I have a question about that later. I'm not going to answer it now. You'll just have to work through this on your own.
Okay. So
I would just take a wild guess. I wouldn't try and logic this one out.
So I'm going to say 472.
Oh my gosh, you are like nailing this already. It's 466. That's really close.
Okay. I promise you, I did not research this. I did not do the math ahead of time. And I did not even look at the outline. So I didn't know you were going to ask me this. So I don't, it just makes sense because if we had 300 regulars and then like, you know, about 170 just seemed like the right number.
I don't think I would have, I thought it was closer to 500. I don't know why. So I think if I had done a wild guess, I would have been more wrong. And lucky for all of us, I took the time to do a little math, Megan, about how long it would take someone to binge listen our entire archives, 466 episodes.
I'm guessing it's a while.
Depending on your level of commitment. So this part is not a quiz.
Thankfully, I did not want to do complicated math today.
No, it took a calculator. It did. Okay. So if you're a brand new listener and you wanted to binge our archives, and let's say you wanted to listen to two episodes per day with the weekends off, like 5 days a week, couple episodes a day. That would take you 46.6 weeks. So basically a year, like a year if you took some vacation.
So this is dropping like in late February. I think you could have this done by the end of the year, right?
Yeah, totally.
I think it's a good goal for 2021, personally.
That's for your moderate new fans who want to binge us at a moderate pace. If you thought you could do five episodes per day with weekends off, so maybe I'm thinking either someone with a really crazy long commute or someone with like a new baby where they're just pacing the house and like no other kids. I don't know. Five episodes per day with weekends off would take you 18 weeks. So really you could do that like, you know, in the second half of a pregnancy.
Yeah, that's like training. Like that's like training for something, you know? Yeah, I like that. Okay.
All right.
Is there a more intense version that you've done the math on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Eight episodes per day. I cannot imagine listening to us eight episodes per day, but if it would be like a full-time job, basically, but you could get through the archives in 11.6 weeks. So you would just blaze right through.
Hey, all you slackers, why aren't you doing this? That's what I want to know.
just eight a day. Just eight simple episodes of the Mom Hour per day. And then I did one more. I framed this math one other way because I was thinking about a brand new pregnant mom who wants to listen, you know, get all caught up on motherhood before the baby's born. So if you found out you were pregnant, and let's assume you were about 6 weeks along and you wanted to listen to the entire catalog by the time you had the baby, assuming a 40-week term, you would need to listen to about 15 episodes per week. So that's doable.
Okay.
That's doable.
Oh,
that's like a boot camp for a...
That's like a long walk every day or like, you know, like lots of laundry folding and dish doing and organizing your closets. I think I like this. I think this is a great goal. One of these
like
goals.
Like a program. Some kind of program for everyone.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. We're going to get back to quiz questions now. So glad you had that little rest. We have a few multiple choice questions and they are involving our actual archives, our episodes. So first question here, which of the following episodes is not in our top 10 most popular? So I'm going to read you four choices. You can also see them in our outline, but I will read them for those following along at home. One of these is not in our top 10 most popular episodes by downloads. We Hate Fun, Mom Myths and Mom Truths, 10 Things We Love About Toddlers, or Home Management Systems That Work For Now.
Okay, well, I know We Hate Fun has got to be in our top 10. And I feel like 10 Things We Love About Toddlers is probably also in our top 10. So I'm going to say the one that's not is Mom Myths and Mom Truth. Not because I think it's the kind of episode that our moms really love, but I also know that our listeners go crazy for organization and management systems. So like it's kind of a toss up between those two. But I think the home management system might have won just by the title. So I'm going to go with Mom Myths and Mom Truth.
Okay. You are incorrect, but your logic is correct. And here's where we get into a little, just a reality of podcasting. Our older episodes are just never as popular by downloads as the newer ones because, well, for a couple of reasons. They're too old to appear in the list of episodes in most people's apps anymore. So you have to work harder to go find them. We Hate Fun was an old episode, and then we redid it in episode 109 is the more current version. So it's not even like you can't even get it in your Apple anymore. I think We Hate Fun was one of our most responded to episodes at the time. But in terms of how many people have listened, it is not in our top 10. So it's surprising.
Sarah,
it was a little
trick. That was a trick question.
A little bit. But I will say now you have that information going forward that even our most wildly popular older episodes just haven't been listened to as many times. Now, maybe everyone will go listen to We Hate Fun right now and then it'll bump into the top 10. Okay, so next question. What is our most popular episode by downloads? You have four choices and one of these is currently number one. Is it Things We Shouldn't Have Freaked Out About as New Moms? What's One More? The Practical Realities of 3+ Kid Families. Self-care as self-preservation. That's also the one where you announced your divorce. I'm just giving you that context. Okay. Or the life-changing magic of opting out.
Whew. Okay. So I feel like the divorce one is too old to even be in there. So I'm just going to go ahead and ignore that one. And maybe that trick will come back to trick me again. But I'm going to... And even the things we shouldn't have freaked out about as new moms is older. Like, I don't feel like that one was... I don't know if I can ask any leading following up questions, but that one's like more than a year old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's quite old.
Quite old.
You'd probably laugh. It's probably like 5 years old.
That's I always forget which one came first. Like, I know we've done that theme.
Yeah. That is the first
over
one.
And over. That's the
that
first
was
one.
The
okay.
first one. Yeah.
I'm going to say, what's one more?
Correct.
Oh.
The Practical Realities of 3+ Kid Families. Yeah.
So the reason I'm choosing that one is it's relatively new and it's one of those topics like everybody always wants to know who has two kids if they should have another. Like, it's just such an evergreen thing. So I assume that one was very popular for that reason.
It is. And it has a little bit of a, I don't think you call it clickbait when it's podcasting, but it has kind of a snazzy title.
Yeah.
And you're right. That is, it's like, I didn't make this into a quiz question, but if we were going to talk about the thing we get asked the most, that is... That's top three. There. Should I have another kid? Or I have two kids and I'm thinking about a third. So,
and we're like,
I guess.
Question mark.
We have eight kids between us. We wouldn't send any of them back. So yeah, you are correct. That is, as of this recording, that is the most popular episode we've ever done. The Practical Realities of Big Families, Bigger Families. And of course, we'll link to all of these in the show notes if you're curious. I will say, so self-care is self-preservation, which was the one where you talked about getting a divorce and then you talked about kind of like getting through really hard times with self-care, was at the time a very, very highly downloaded episode. And I don't know. I don't know if part of it is like there was like, I don't know, some interest in the big announcement or if it just struck a chord with people just being vulnerable and talking about something hard. But at the time that I think at the time, all of these were really popular. Things We Shouldn't Have Freaked Out About was also really popular. And so was the life-changing magic of opting out, but they've been eclipsed.
Yeah. It happens.
Okay. This is a little different. I wanted to look at the most popular episode by a different metric. And that is the number of people who clicked over to the show notes page. So you have to think about like why people might go to the show notes. In a lot of our episodes, you don't really need to, like, we're not, there's nothing there for you. But I was curious.
Don't do it. Just don't bother. Well, stop wasting your time.
Okay. I bet that the content is here in your ears. And we have thrown a few links at you in the show notes. But like, so I was curious on our website, we also have analytics. And I wanted to see what is the episode page that has the most visits. And I'm going to give you a hint that there's actually two answers. So I'm giving you four choices and two are correct because we have two different ways to measure this. So the options are More Than Mom, The Search for the Perfect Thing. That's all one episode where we talked about finding a perfect, you know, objects. Home and Life Products We Are Loving. That was episode 246. Staying Organized and Motivated as a Full-Time Working Mom. That was the first time I interviewed Sarah Hart Unger. So it was January of 2020. She came back this year. And then Are You Done Having Babies? Episode 7, a really old one. And so two of these are essentially, they both win. So which two have had the most show notes visits?
Okay. I feel like there would have been a lot of reasons for people to go check out the one with Sarah Hart Unger. But then again, it's just one. It's really just one person to remember. I'm going to go with the Perfect Things episode.
Okay.
I just feel like, was it, but not right, huh?
Not correct. I would have thought so too, because we would have linked to a whole bunch.
A lot of stuff. And people wanted to check our stuff out so they could make their own recommendations. I remember that being one where like a lot of people weighed in. Okay, so then was it Sarah Hart Unger?
So yeah, so Sarah Hart Unger, and you know why? Because we put photos of her. She put photos, I think, of her planner, and people love to look at like how people. And here's another theory I have: links show up right in your podcast player app. You don't have to click over to the show notes, but depending on how you listen to podcasts, photos do not always. So if we've said that we're going to put photos in the show notes, I think you do. A lot of people would have to click over to our website, depending on how you listen. Yeah. Whereas links come over into the description, so you don't actually have to go. So that one surprised me, but that makes sense. Why? She shared photos of her calendar and her to-do list, and people love that. They love to see, like, you know, not just like a stock photo, but the actual inside of her daily planner. So that was one. And the other metric I use, because we only started using Google Analytics more recently on our site, whereas WordPress can tell us more historically. So the other one is Are You Done Having Babies? Episode 7 has a ton of page views. And here's why. We offered, you'll have no memory of this, I'm sure. We offered a free chapter of your ebook Beyond Baby for download.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Isn't that funny? I did not remember that. Yes. No, didn't remember that. I actually sometimes forget I even wrote that book. So
I know. Yeah.
Crazy.
So there was a free download, and that sent people over to the show notes. So I'm laughing because I guess if our goal was show notes page views, which that has not really been a big focus for us, but turns out having a free download or photos to look at drives people there. So
love it.
All right. Okay. Here's a question that there's no multiple choice. You're just going to give me your best guess. When did we start doing More Than Mom episodes? Now, you touched on this earlier, and I didn't say much because some of the things you said were correct and some weren't. So we're going to dig into the birth of More Than Moms, but I just want your best guess at when did we start doing them?
Okay. I am going to guess that it was early summer 2018.
Very good. You're very good. It was actually February of 2018, but okay. I mean, you got the year right. So here's kind of what happened earlier in today's episode. You said when we started More Than Moms, they were not sponsored. And I double checked, and that is incorrect. But
is
you
it?
Are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, because so two things. They were going to be shorter, and they were only going to have one sponsor. I'm remembering now. So they were going to be short, which that's like famous last words. We're never short at anything. They were going to only have one sponsor instead of multiple. And we were, at the time, I think we were in high demand. We were selling out of our sponsor inventory, which prompted us to add, you know, a new type of show to work with certain sponsors. And we were really like wanting them to line up and be like More Than Mom themed sponsors.
Oh, and like beauty proved, and clothes. Yeah. And yes.
Okay, and that was a good idea, but it proved a little difficult to execute the way that our sales work and the way that sponsor scheduling works and stuff. So it kind of fell by the wayside, as did, you know, keeping them short. I think we were going to do like 25 to 30 minute episodes. And
I feel like the first one, maybe we pulled that off. And then after that, they were so fun.
No. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. They were just as long. Yeah. Huh.
But what's interesting is we had been talking about, so I went back and looked, and we had been talking about those types of topics like pop culture, entertainment, makeup, you know, beauty. We started doing those in 2016, and we even kind of would refer to them as more than mom sort of conversationally, but we didn't break them out into their own separate Sunday thing until 2018. In our archives, you can listen to older, 2016 and 2017 episodes that are definitely not about motherhood and parenting. And we even start to sort of coin the more than mom phrase, but they ran on Tuesdays and they were numbered. So they just weren't their own thing until early 2018. So good guess.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
All right. Last question before break is not a quiz. It's just your opinion. And I know you do not like to pick favorites, but I'm going to make you do it anyway, or you can just nod and say something else. I can't control you.
So I can choose what I want.
I was just wondering, what is your favorite of the different sort of types of episodes we do? And I'm not actually talking about More Than Moms versus Tuesdays. These are all like Tuesday themes. So like listener questions would be one. A week of real life dinners is another thing we return to again and again. What's great about our eight is one where we return to talk about like what's actually going on with our eight kids. And then, you know, if there's another thing that comes to mind, like a type of episode, but within the Tuesday framework, because I know we love More Than Moms and they're kind of their own universe. But what's your favorite? I don't know. Series is the wrong word, but the favorite type of episode.
It's like it's a recurring. Yeah, yes. It's not a series, but it's like a recurring type. I'm just going to go with choose from the three that you offered. And I actually think it's a week of real life dinners for a couple of reasons. First of all, I just think it's really fun to get a snapshot of what other people are eating for a week. Mm-hmm. So for me, there's like something satisfying about doing that. And I actually find it very motivating to track it. And I don't change anything about the way I eat. Like, we know we're going to do that when we're coming up to a week. And it's not like that's the week I decide I'm really going to go for broke and have some amazing meal plan this week. It's pretty real, but I do find it very motivating to track it. Kind of like if you track everything you eat for a few days, it's just interesting data to have. And there's something really satisfying about looking back at a week and being like, wow, like I fed my family all week long. Maybe one week, you know, maybe one night it was kind of like not my best effort, but I did it and here's what I ate. And then I also find that there's a little long tail, boost from that. Like I try a little harder for the following few weeks as well. So there's just like a little benefit. And they're easy to do because all we do is talk about what we ate. So for all of those reasons, it's hard to choose because I really like the other kinds as well, but that one's just one of my favorites.
I agree. And we're due to do it again. We haven't done it in about a year. I think we've done it about three or four times total. So it's not of the ones I listed, it's probably the least recurring, but we're due to do another one soon. And, we usually make Kelsey, our sponsorship coordinator and who helps us with other things. We ask her to keep us accountable for tracking the meals. Cause the way it works is if we're going to record an episode and talk about what we ate for a whole week, then the tracking has to be kind of like a week prior. So it feels far out. It feels like, okay, we're tracking this week, but we're going to talk about it next week. And you won't remember. So you really do have to write it down. So usually Kelsey messages us in Slack, like, what'd you guys have for dinner? And we're like, oh, we're kind of like, I don't know. At the time, it feels like nothing. We just like ate warmed up leftovers. Like, you know, but she writes it down. And then when we go to talk about it, yes, you're right. It kind of creates more a picture of that whole week, even if it doesn't feel remarkable at the time. So I love that.
And also there has been several times when we've done that, where we've decided on it like a week in advance or whatever. We put it in the calendar. And so I kind of know it's coming, but I'm not really, because I know Kelsey's going to do that for us. I'm not thinking that hard about it.
Right.
And then it turns out it's like, in my mind, the worst possible week. Like it's the weird week, or it's like the week I forgot there was
a shipment of like sponsor food. We always try and get out of it. We're like, we shouldn't do it this week because so-and-so's out of town but that's kind of the point is like no week is normal.
Right. Exactly. And there's been several times that I've gotten like a sponsor shipment of like frozen fish or like a, you know, like a food box of some sort that I forgot was coming. And then I'm like, oh man, do I work this in somehow? And like, in the end, it turns out totally not normal, which I guess is normal, right? Yeah. Like there's no such thing as a normal week. We all deal with things where we overbuy, we underbuy, someone's got some practice, you have to go somewhere. I just like how real it is. It really is real life.
I agree. Yeah. We had I think it was in Instagram. Someone suggested recently that we bring in other people's meal plans, like somehow crowdsource meal plans. And I think that would be really fun. So we'll think about that just to like broaden so that it's not just you and me or you, me and Kelsey. We've looped Kelsey in a couple times. So
yeah, you guys want to hear about my chili again?
Yeah. the pork, sweet potato hash.
The pork and chili. I made that last week. I'm going to make the pork this week. Yeah. So
yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break and come back for more fun after this. You know, Megan, I love that it's becoming more and more normal to check the ingredients list on everything we put on or in our bodies, from food to cosmetics to supplements. Even my kids know how to read an ingredients list now, which I love.
Oh, I love that too. I mean, we deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies, right? And our sponsor, Ritual, is the perfect women's daily multivitamin for those of you listening who also love to check your ingredient labels. Ritual is made to be traceable. That means you'll always know what nutrients you're taking and where they come from, thanks to Ritual's one-of-a-kind visible supply chain.
And here's what you won't find in Ritual's Daily for Women multivitamin: sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, and artificial colorants. None of that. Just clean, vegan-friendly, high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms that your body can actually use. There are also now Ritual formulas for men and for teens, each scientifically developed to help support different life stages.
I love my daily ritual with Ritual. The bottle is pretty enough to keep right out on my counter, which makes it easy to remember to take. And because they're delivered to your door monthly, you'll never run out or forget to reorder. They just make it so easy.
Yep. And not only that, but there's free shipping always, and you can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And we have a great deal for our listeners. We're going to help you get 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/themomhour to start your ritual today. Again, that's ritual.com/themomhour for 10% off during your first 3 months. Megan, our friends over at the Parenting in Place Masterclass have a new series kicking off February 17th. And if you missed the fall session, this is a great chance to sign up with an early bird rate of just $39. When you sign up, you'll get 8 live parenting classes taught by incredible experts, plus a private Facebook group, bonus downloads, and more.
Yeah, and the speaker lineup for this winter is so good, Sarah. Check out some of these familiar names: Debbie Reber, Julie Lithcott-Hames, Jessica Leahy, Michelle Borba, Madeline Levine. Any of those ring a bell?
Yes, I have read books by all of those smart ladies, and I love them all. You know, I think the past year has taught us all a lot about what we need to thrive as parents. And two of the biggest things are validation and support. The Parenting in Place Masterclass series will equip you with specific tools and takeaways to manage all kinds of parenting challenges, from anxiety to screen time, from talking about puberty to helping kids become more resilient.
The program takes place over 8 weekly masterclasses hosted on Zoom from February 17th through April 7th. And if you sign up before February 17th, you'll get in at the early bird rate of just $39. The Zoom classes take place live, but you can always catch the recording later if you miss them. And you also get access to a closed, moderated Facebook group to keep the conversation going between sessions.
To register, head to themomhour.com/parentinginplace. That's themomhour.com/parentinginplace to sign up for 8 weeks of parenting help for just $39 when you sign up by February 17th. Okay, we're back. And Megan, my next couple of questions are centered around our community and specifically in our Facebook group, because that is where I had the most information. So
yeah,
we're going to talk about names and the names of the moms in our community. And I'm going to tell you that in our Facebook group, which has a couple thousand members in our Facebook group, there are more Sarahs than Megans. And I did this analysis myself. And I spelled Sarah either way, and I spelled Megan all the ways, all the possible ways. Yeah. All the ways. So there are more Megans. There are more Sarahs than Megans in the Facebook group. And I want you to tell me, is it a ratio of 2-1 Sarahs to Megans, 3-1, or 5-1?
This is hard because I'm Megan blind. Like, Megan is one of those names that I don't. It's like it doesn't register to me. I really don't ever notice when there's lots of or none. It's weird. Like, it's like if you're weird. A Megan, you might as well not even have a name. But you're also my name. It's like you're me. So let me think about this for a second. I bet it's significant because Megan just had that little burst of popularity like in the mid 80s, but it was really fast. It was like 1 or 2 years. And I have never known a lot of Megans my age, maybe one per year. I've always known more Sarahs. I'm going to say it's 3-1.
It is actually 2-1, and it's not even 2-1. So there are not really quite double. There are 64 Sarahs in our Facebook group and 35 Megans.
There are 35 Megans in our Facebook group?
Mm-hmm.
That surprises me. Maybe I just think they're all the same, Megan.
That's true. Or they're maybe or I you're think blind they're all to me. Them. They mean nothing to you. They sorry, Megan.
Because they are me. They all live inside me. Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Well, I am definitely going to pay more attention to Megan's now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a little behind the scenes, I thought it would be really easy to just like export a list of our Facebook group members and like look at it in like a spreadsheet and kind of like alphabetize them and just eyeball this. No, it was not. Facebook doesn't let you do that. So I have another question about common names or popular okay. names, but all of this was a very, what am I trying to say? I had to DIY this analysis myself okay. by like all right. searching. And so, yeah, it was kind of funny. Okay. So there are a few names in our Facebook group that are even more common than Sarah, which is surprising because Sarah is really always right up there at the top of the list. So which one of these is not more common than Sarah? It's less common. Katie, Caitlin, Catherine. I grouped all those together. So all the Kate, Katie's, Caitlin's, and variants on Catherine all grouped together. Okay. Jen and Jennifer, Jenny, all those variants grouped okay. together. Mm-hmm. And then here's something controversial. I grouped Kristen's, Kirsten's, and also Christine's, no, Christie's.
No.
No, you don't think I should group no, those together?
No, and I honestly also wouldn't put Catherine's with Katie's and Kate's and Caitlin's.
Okay.
Because then you have to go Kathleen, Kathy. I mean, that opens up so, like, such
that's
a big.
Too many more.
Like,
okay.
I feel like Katie, Kate, and Caitlin go together, and Kathy, Catherine, Kathleen are a separate entity. And I would never put Christine or Christy
with Kristen
and Kirsten. So does that okay. ruin your whole question? Because I think it's Jen well, anyway.
But it does. Jen is the one that there are not as many Jens and Jennifers as Sarah's.
Okay, so it's not more common. Right. But I feel like that's maybe because of the how aggressive you are with the groupings.
I think you're right. So if you break out the, I actually did write down, if you separate the Christines, C-H-R, and the Christies and that from the Kristen and Kirsten and Kirsten, they're about 30 to 35 each.
Yeah.
So they combine to be the Sarahs at 65. But you're right. Okay. They are less. And then with the Katie, Caitlin, Catherine, Kathleen, I stopped keeping track of separate. But yes, if you separated them out, they would not beat Sarah's. So Sarah is really the most popular name in our group.
By a lot. And Sarah with an H is probably more popular than Sarah's without an H, I'm guessing.
I don't know. I would have to look that up. I combined them. Those can be combined. So can Jen's and Jennifer's. There are 51 Jen and Jennifer's, though. So that's. I mean, I guess that's a good second. Can you think of any other name that would be as popular?
Heather.
Okay, let's do this in real time. Heather. We have... Oh, I had to count them manually too. 5, 10. I'm going to say there's about 20 Heathers. So that's a good one.
How about what else? Melissa?
Oh, that's I think I did that one and just it didn't make it into my question. Melissa, there are 22. Yeah.
So significant.
Oh, and
not...
21 Heather. Yeah.
Okay.
I did write some of these down. Elizabeth and Liz's, there are 23.
Okay.
Kim, there are 13.
That leads me to another question though. What is the most unusual spelling of Megan and Sarah? Like, was there any S-E-R-A's or like something truly unusual?
I didn't search that. There are. So I just searched Sarah and Sarah because those are so dominant.
Right.
I guess there could be. But with Megan's, there are two M-E-A-G-H-A-N. So like your spelling, but with the H. There are no other spellings like you. Except there are two of you in the group because you have a weird, alternate identity.
Yes.
So there are two of you. And then there are a lot of M-E-G-A-N.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought there was one. Oh, there is an M-E-G-H-A-N-N. So that's a little different. There's two of those. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. An assortment of Megan.
Sure are.
Okay, I'm switching gears into more open-ended questions, still focused on our community and, I don't know, just the relationship we have with our listeners over these 300 episodes. So I wanted to know, Megan, what is your favorite kind of feedback to get from listeners, and be specific. It could be a type of thing that people say, or like just a type of email, a type of review. I mean, this is like love languages almost again.
Well, right. Okay. So one of the ones that that has been a theme this last year, in particular, like the last 3 to 6 months, I would say, is just how much of a comfort the show has been to people and how good it makes them feel, or how like how seen and comforted they feel by the show. So like I love knowing that we help other moms feel good, and that that kind of feedback means a lot. Like I really love getting those emails, and sometimes they're like sometimes they really like make my entire day into the next day. Yeah. They're just so heartfelt, and like it's not flattery. I don't like care. I mean, I like that we do. I think we do a good job with the show, but I would rather know that like someone came away feeling really good after listening to it. So that makes me feel good. How about you?
I love that. Well, that is a very Enneagram 2 response, right? Because you have helped someone and you feel seen for being the helper. So I love that. And I'm sure, I think my answer is also very me. I mean, I love hearing that as well. But the things that stick out for me is I love when people either acknowledge the work that goes into making a good show, coming up with topics, especially as time goes on, 300 episodes, 466 episodes in, when people actually like, you know, compliment us for having good ideas and coming up with new ways to present, you know, the same motherhood experience week after week. I take that compliment. It feels good because we do work really, really hard on coming up with content ideas.
Yeah.
So I love that. I really like when people share like a specific time that they thought of us, or like, you know, I went to potty train my kid and I remembered this one time that Megan said blah, blah, blah. Like when they reference back to something we said, especially if it's like an older episode, and it's just very flattering to know that people have taken our just random things we say on this show and like carry it forward with them. Agreed. So when they have a specific story like that, that is always flattering. But of course, like, all of it feels good. It's all words of affirmation. And we really do love all of your emails and the nice reviews and all of that. But I thought that would be fun to kind of dig in. And I'm not surprised that it kind of reflects our personalities.
Yeah. Love it.
So on the flip side, what is your least favorite kind of criticism that we receive? And it could be the method of receiving it, like a bad iTunes review or like a passive aggressive comment. Or it could also be just what type of criticism. And I can go first on this one. Actually, bad iTunes reviews, or I should say Apple Podcasts, bad reviews don't bother me when they clearly come from someone where it's like, this is not the show for you. And you are not the listener for us. And we do get those where it's like, okay, you took the time to go write a bad review, but like, it's clear that like, we're just not meant for each other. Like there is another podcast for you out there and we are not it. So I don't actually take those. I mean, we both take them a little personally. It never feels good to see those pop up, but I'm able to kind of let those go pretty easily. Remember recently someone said, I think it was in an iTunes review, that we talk about Amazon too much and that we're obviously very politically conservative. And we were like,
wait, what? Yeah, I know.
Okay. I mean, it's not even really criticism, but
it was just funny. Like, we were like, okay, weird.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're really listening to our show. Maybe you listened once and I'm not sure that you have the right idea about us. But anyway, so the iTunes reviews don't bother me usually. But sometimes I get a little annoyed when people email us to be like, have you ever done an episode about potty training? And it's like something that they could search our site so easily and find. That is not a criticism. But it's a listener behavior that sometimes I want to be like, let me Google that for you. It's right here. Now, I will say that there are lots of times when we get questions like that that are not what I'm talking about. They're much more nuanced. And it's like, hey, have you guys ever thought about this? Or I'm happy to answer questions or point people in the right direction. But I think it's just a content creator thing where it's like, we've put out this content for you, like you could do a web search before emailing us. I don't know.
You know, Sarah, it's so very Enneagram one of you, because you did the work and you're like,
yeah,
did you not recognize that I already did this for you? This is already solved. We've already done this. And like, I just think it's so funny because for me, I'm like, oh, that person just really wants to say hi to us and this is how they're doing it. And so it totally doesn't bother you at all. It's like, I know, but like, it's just different personalities, like different things bug differently personality people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you and I are definitely bugged differently by different things. The one other thing I will say, and then I feel like I'm being mean, so we got to move on to you, but sometimes people will ask us to do an episode about something that is so specific that it feels like they don't realize, like, this is, we are not an expert show. Like, we don't bring on a series of interviews every week where we can really dive into specific situations. And we're only two people with two sets of experiences. So they'll be like, hey, I love your show. Can you do it? Can you talk about like raising a child with dyslexia while your husband is cheating on you and like your dishwasher is also broken? Like, it'll be so specific. And it's like, well, no, we can't, because this is a show where we talk about our own lives, right, like our own experiences. So we really can't speak to that. And then, you know, of course, we try to bring on different voices, interviews, and we try to represent different experiences. But there are some times when it's like almost people forget, like, we're just people with lives. Like, we can't manufacture experience that we don't have.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's a content creator thing, right? Because like we have that hat on all the time. Like, how would this be something that would help a big number of our listeners?
Right.
And be of interest to them. And like, we, even if we did have an ability to talk about raising a child with dyslexia while our husbands were cheating on us and our dishwashers were broken, which sounds awful. And maybe that could be a listener question, but, and we would just be like, good luck. That sounds awful. But I think that it's trying to take something so granular and specific and then turn it into something helpful and general enough that is just for a content creator is really challenging. But if you're a listener, again, it's like, you know, they really like the people, I think, really just want to reach out and tell us that they have this really crappy situation, this really challenging situation. Yes. And I just tend to look at it like, oh, OK, like no obligation on our part to actually do that. They just need to let us know that that is what they've got going on. And it's a lot. So, yeah. But that, I mean, I don't think you don't sound mean. You just sound like someone who put a lot of thought into content. Right. Like the fact that you've already thought it through. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so what about you? What's your least favorite type of comment or criticism, or I don't know, perceived criticism, I guess, to receive?
Well, I think that, and I think this is something about you and I both, Sarah, but maybe more me than you, is I really don't like feeling misunderstood. That's like a big, that's part of the reason my writing style is the way it is, overly long and overly explanatory sometimes. But I just really like people to know that, like, I'm not judging them. I don't think things, like, I don't want people to make assumptions about the way I feel about things. And so when we get a review, when it's just obvious to me that I was misunderstood in some way, that really bugs me. Like, when there's an assumption made about my intent or like what I think, or, you know, so like, that's one that's doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it bugs. And then the other one, and this is tends to be more on social. It really doesn't happen that I can think of in a, in like a podcast review, like on the apps or whatever.
Yeah.
But it would be when like, and this again has only happened a real small handful of times, but when like one of us maybe made a flub or something came out that wasn't like super politically correct or something we just didn't know, like our intentions were good, but we missed the boat somehow or missed the mark. And then one thing I find like probably more, I don't know, hurtful than anything else is when then there's a comment where people refer to us as they, as if we're not sitting there watching the conversation happen. And I remember one in particular, and I won't go into what it was, but someone said something, like someone called us out in a comment and then someone else said, they make me cringe all the time or something. And I was like, hello, like this is our Instagram. It's not they, it's you. Yeah. Like you're speaking to us, but you're speaking about us in front of us. And it was just very strange and like unsettling and weird. And I think people do sometimes forget that we are real people and that we don't, you know, we're talking into a mic. We're not aware of every single thing we say. And we do make changes. If people will say like,
definitely,
you know, like I know one thing that we used to do a lot and we worked really hard not to do this is to say you guys, like we were always you guys. And we got a couple comments that people found that annoying and we worked really hard to clean that up. Do we ever say it? probably, but I know that that's something that we both tried not to do as much. And there's been other examples of things people find bothersome or offensive or, you know, just not current, like not in line with current ways of thinking about things. And so we're mindful of that, but we're not perfect. And so to be talked about in front of us, like we're not in the room, I just find, and to not give us any grace whatsoever, like it just, it's hurtful to me. So that happens so rarely that it's not even really, it's not like a common thing at all. It's very rare. But when it does happen, that makes it feel even more stabby because it's so uncommon and our listeners tend to be so gracious that, I don't know.
So and all of this, like all of, I thought this would be an interesting question to tackle and I'm glad we did, but all of it should be clear that it's the vast minority of conversations that we have with people and the feedback that we get. I just thought people might find it funny to peek behind the curtain. And because if you've ever emailed us or, you know, if you interact with us, you don't see the volume of other feedback that we get. And I can tell you, it is so overwhelmingly positive and gracious and smart. Like our listeners are just, they are, they're just generous of heart. What's the, they're magnanimous of spirit. Like they really do just, it's very rare that we feel misunderstood or feel criticized. So I thought it would be kind of a fun little rabbit hole.
Well, it just made me want to cry, Sarah. So thanks a lot.
Okay. Well then let's make it happy.
Okay.
Can you just talk generally about your experience over the years, having this relationship with listeners out there that, you know, you can't see these people, they can't really talk back to you except in the ways we've just been over. But yet at the same time, they start to feel like friends over the years and we can both just share our thoughts. You go first and feel free, you know, you came at it from professional blogging where you also built relationships with blog readers and commenters. So I'm sure there's some interesting comparisons there too.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go back even a step before blogging to back to my forum days. Like my early internet experience was like old school internet forums and chat rooms. And it was very personal and kind of anonymously, but very like everyone had a weird handle that wasn't their real name, but you would still have like deep relationships with people whose real name you didn't necessarily even know, which is sometimes just, I don't know, it's very different. And then I moved into blogging and blogging at first, like when I was doing it in the mid 2000s, the mid aughts, was lots of commenting, very personal, like a lot of relationship building. And then things started to kind of shift away from that as social got more, kind of started taking up more of the attention, I guess, or the energy behind that. Most of that conversation shifted to social. So I really didn't know what to expect when I started podcasting because I thought, well, this is going to feel like writing for a magazine or something. It's going to be us putting our thoughts out there.
Right.
And we're not going to get any feedback and we're not really going to know. And the only way to know is going to be to like, I don't know, try to also find people on social or just guess. And I have been amazed by how much email and how much interaction we actually do get. I mean, I really am. I have been surprised, very pleasantly surprised. It's better than it was in blogging. I would say it's sometimes better than it was in blogging, even in the best days of blogging, when comments were a thing and people would leave long, you know, thoughtful comments. Now I feel like that's shifted to our Facebook group and community, our email box, and to some degree, Instagram. And it really is there and it feels really good. So I don't know, like it's not, I worried it would feel very one-sided. But it doesn't, and it feels personal in a way that even blogging never really did. So
No, I totally agree. I'm always very touched when people who have listened from the beginning or you know, call it the beginning, this is 6 years now. So even if it's 3 or 4 years, who've listened for a long time, keep listening. And I'm always like, oh man, like we're still relevant to you.
I know, like I hope we don't disappoint you.
I love the new super fans too. Like I love the people who find us and binge listen and get really excited. But then I'm always like, it's almost like I'm surprised when the people keep showing up year after year. And you know, if you're listening to this, you know who you are. And in case you've ever wondered if like we get tired of, you know, you're always supportive. You always comment on every Instagram post or you shoot us an email after every newsletter. And those are the names where it's like, oh, like she's still here. Like she's not bored of us yet. So that's a very humbling part of the relationship to me. And there are, you know, a small handful of people like that, that I have like now followed or connected with from my personal Instagram and feel like I kind of know their kids or know what their family looks like. Yeah. And I do think, you know, social media comes with pros and cons, and Facebook especially is not my favorite entity at all. I have way more gripes with Facebook than I do positive things to say. But, you know, we waited a long time to start that Facebook group because we don't like Facebook very much, and we don't want to spend a bunch of time on it. And we worried about having to moderate like mommy fights about breastfeeding. And right, like, we really held off for years on doing something like that. And I think we've both publicly said, like, thank goodness for that space, because that is the one place where you can kind of in real time see and talk to listeners, and we're just two regular people in the group. Like, it's unlike you were saying, like, when people feel like they're talking about us and we're not there, we're there with everybody in the group. And so I'm super grateful for that, even though we were very tentative about building a community like that. And then, yeah, Instagram is a little harder because for a few reasons. It doesn't feel quite as immediate as where in Facebook you can have a threaded conversation. So someone else can post a question asking for advice, and then we'll all chat about it in the comments. And that's so nice. Instagram is still like us as the brand and people commenting, and it's a little more removed, but we've still made some great, you know, connections there. And then, like I said, people coming over, where I feel like if they follow us personally, then we almost start to build a little bit more of a personal but still online relationship, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, it all feels good.
Well, this has been really, really fun. I had no idea what was coming at me. As you know, I didn't even scroll down and read the outline before we started. So truly, I know that I came close in some of my guesses, which I'm surprised about, because sometimes I feel like I'm a little clueless about some of these things. But you set me up well to not have a total flop, Sarah. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I think I'm just feeling really grateful for our community who's been with us for all of these 300 plus 163 episodes or whatever it was. 300 plus
466.
Okay. So 166 and 300 together. But we're happy to celebrate with all of you, not you guys, all of you people. And I don't know, I'm just excited to see what comes next.
Yeah, me too. I agree. Thanks for just being with us and this little fun behind the scenes and taking a pause to celebrate. And of course, you know, we're not going to stop doing helpful, encouraging mom content. That's what we do. But I think it's always worth a pause to kind of reflect. And so hopefully this was fun for those of you listening as well. In the show notes, which you may or may not visit, as we know from the analytics, I will link up some of the episodes we talked about that are really popular, especially the ones you can't find in your app anymore, because you can listen to everything on our website. So even the ones that don't show up because Spotify and Apple and all those, they limit the feed to 300, which is kind of funny. So if it were only Tuesdays, we would have filled the feed. But since we have those others, there are 166 older episodes you can only listen to on our site. So also throw some links in the show notes so you can check out those We Hate Fun and Things We Shouldn't Have Freaked Out About and some of those classic oldies. And then if you feel like helping us out or saying thank you, we would love a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Just every time you share on social and tag us, we see that. We love it. Telling a friend about the show. Those things are so, maybe they sound obvious, and every podcast you listen to asks for those things. And we all feel sheepish and tired of asking after a while. But I will tell you, they never get old. And every single little drop in the bucket, it helps. And it also, you know, we see it and we notice it. So we really appreciate it. You know, no matter how long we do this or how much we've grown, we appreciate that. So, all right, Megan, this was fun. We'll be back with everybody soon, and we'll talk to you then.
Talk to you then.